Hello and welcome to the One Goal US Soccer Podcast. It is the day before Christmas. We'll start how we always start. George, happy belated birthday first and foremost. How are we doing today?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Like Matt said, it recently was my birthday. I am now 21 years old, so it's great. I know I probably seem a lot more mature than at my age, but you know, it's great to finally get above that bump.
So for the listeners who don't know, tell them what I got you for your birthday.
So for my birthday, I received a cameo from none other than NYCFC midfielder Juan Pablo Torres, and it was absolutely amazing. He recently turned 21 as well, so it was great hearing from him. He's a guy who I've watched, you know, play throughout the academy. Obviously, we were the same age group, so saw him play on that Georgia United team with, you know, Andrew Carlton, Chris Gosselin, for the youth national team. So, no, definitely a top-tier gift from Matt.
Yeah, dude, I saw it. I was on Cameo. It said $10, and I was like, I'm going to pay $10 for that for sure. So that was worth it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. But as always, it was another big week for U.S. soccer. In terms of topical news, the Brian Reynolds transfer saga continues. Roma, Fiorentina, and Juventus. The Juventus one is actually kind of interesting because it would be a buy with a loan to Calgary, which is interesting because they have a non-EU spot available there for Brian Reynolds, and then he would eventually hopefully replace Juan Cuadrado at Juventus as the right back. So we'll see how that actually comes to fruition. We'll leave that maybe till next week when things finally wrap up. We'll see what happens. But also in other news, we had Tim Weah score yesterday for Lille. So he's in great form. Josh Sargent scored the DFB Pokal against Hanover. As expected, he was actually the man of the match in that game. So good for him. Happy to see him scoring and doing well. And unfortunately, we also saw the U17 and U20 World Cup canceled. And on top of that, Ayo Akinola took an invite to Canada for their upcoming potential friendly. We don't know who they're playing yet, but there's a friendly coming up for them. So unfortunately, he is with Canada for now, but it's important to mention that it's not a cap-tying event. He is provisionally cap-tied to the U.S. soccer because he played for the U17 World Cup for us. So that means he can't play for Canada right away. He can train with them, see what the setup is like, and then if he wants to file that one-time switch, he can. But for now, he's still with the U.S. setup. He's just trying out Canada. But George, what's on your mind? Have any of those things interesting to you? The U20 World Cup, U17 World Cup, like what's going on?
Yeah, it's definitely, I think the cancellation of those two tournaments is definitely a little bit upsetting. You know, that's how a lot of guys stake their claim. That's how they make names for themselves. You know, I think about a guy, Tanner Tessman, for example, who could have used that tournament to maybe propel him to a European move. So just for guys like that, it's definitely disappointing. I know they're probably not too happy right now. So I guess it just puts a lot of stake on their club careers. You know, guys like that just have to really make sure they go into 2021 and put their best foot forward.
Yeah, I'm curious your thoughts on this. So I think, like you said, a lot of guys use that U17 and U20 World Cup as kind of the springboard to a big transfer. Do you think that we're going to see more guys in the MLS kind of leave this summer who are in that age group who are going to probably leave after the U20 World Cup? Like, what do you project for that?
Yeah, I think they're probably going to leave anyway. I think, you know, like Tanner Tessman, Caden Clark, guys like that who probably have one full, you know, quality MLS season in them before they leave. So I do think maybe the range of teams that they could have gone to might shrink because of the U20 World Cup not being there. But at the same time, you look at Brian Reynolds, he didn't need a U20 World Cup. He needed a handful of games, and now Juventus is after him. So it seems as though scouts are scouting MLS more as opposed to just seeing these players for the first time on the international stage.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, I think it's really interesting to see kind of what happens, the ramifications from that. I'm curious also, are you worried at all about Ayo Akinola in Canada? Or even people were talking this week that there was some tweet about Fuller and Balogun. The U.S. has expressed interest. I mean, I'll say right now, I mean, from what I understand, that's nothing new. We've been trying for a while. Obviously, he appeared in a friendly youth cap with us. So nothing has really changed in terms of his commitment to us. Maybe the U20 World Cup changed that a little bit, but your thoughts on either of those two things?
Yeah, I think with Ayo Akinola, it's the same thing that we have with Andres Pereira and Efrain Alvarez, the recent camp. You know, just get a look. Why not? And he's a guy who's grown up in Canada, played for the U.S. youth teams. So Canada's having a sort of revolution themselves. They have Jonathan David, Alfonso Davies. You have a lot of guys coming up in MLS as well. So why not get a look? He plays with a lot of them in Toronto. They're probably telling him good things. And the thing with Ayo Akinola too is he'll be a starter for them. At least I think so. He'll link up with Alfonso Davies. He'll link up with Jonathan David. If Canada's having a 23-man squad, he makes it every day of the week tomorrow. We can't say the same for the U.S. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes with him. And if he does, then that's when we go to Flair and Boggan and we say, hey, buddy, another striker spot just opened. Like, come right. on. Like,
weird link that they're both at the same time. Like you said, you can't play in the game right now. For Ayo Akinola, he can't play in a game right now. But yeah, I think it's tough. And I think it's one of those things that we'll actually get an answer come March, because he'll have a senior call-up for Canada waiting for him if he wants to take it. And I think he's pretty close to a senior call-up for the men's national team, but he's kind of in that top five to top seven striker list, not the top three per se. So he's going to force someone's hand. It's kind of like the reverse Sebastian Soto, where he's going to force the hand of someone to call him in. Just a matter not of whether that's going to be the United States. And I think we'll have to wait and see. And I'm very hopeful he stays with us, but I also understand this is something we're going to have to deal with. But I think the main event for this episode, we had a lot of great questions come in on Twitter and on Instagram. So thanks everyone for submitting those. But we have a couple here. We have about 7 or 8 questions and a couple more bigger questions that go off of that. So I'll start here. This one's from Twitter with USMNT Fanatic. Who will be the next player to have a massive transfer move?
Ooh, this is an interest. What define massive?
So I think massive is like going from either MLS, South America, a lower tier in England, lower tier in Germany, to the next step up in league, if that makes sense. Like a big step up in league. I think that's how you should categorize it. I can go. Right, I'm ready.
All right, who's yours?
So my answer, I was thinking about this. I think it's definitely going to be Johnny Cardoso, who is getting back healthy international. You know, he's playing. He has like top three in most minutes for under 20, or maybe it's under 23 Brazilians in the entire league, Brazilian eligible in the entire league. So I think he's someone that he already interests from Marseille. It's coming. It's just a matter of time. Can he stay healthy? Can he keep putting out these good performances? And I think eventually we're going to see him move somewhere big. Does that count as massive? I'm not sure, but I think he's definitely going to move soon.
All right. And I think for me, I think I'll go with one of the two Dallas boys, and specifically Paxton Pomacaller, Tanner Tessman. And the reason I say that is, if you look at who's in for Brian Reynolds, scouts are watching FC Dallas. Clearly, if Juventus, Roma, teams like that are in for Brian Reynolds, it means top teams in the world are watching FC Dallas. And if Brian Reynolds gets sold for $9 million, and then not just the teams that are watching now, but other teams are going to be alerted to say, what is this team that is producing talent like this? And boom, who are they going to see? Tanner Tessman, who's similar to Brian Reynolds, is an absolute physical beast, 6'2", two-footed. Maybe teams might even look at him and say, oh, we think he can play center back, like a lot of people have been saying. So I think there's definitely a market for him. And then Paxton Pomacall, a guy who, if injuries weren't in play, probably would have had a big move last summer. So I think either one of those two are going to get a big move next year.
Yeah, I agree. I like both of those calls. As long as Paxton stays healthy, I think that's what it comes down to. And I think another we can add to that list is we saw rumors this week of Bruce Mönchengladbach and George Bello. So that's a possibility as well. So I think, I mean, this summer could be really interesting. Obviously, with no U17, U20 World Cup, there might be a lot of movement. We'll see. But thanks to USMNT Fanatic for that question. Do they also, I guess, someone we can add to this, do you think like we should be worried about Tim Weah and Lille, who are in a tough place financially, or Anthony Robinson if Fulham gets relegated? Or are those just kind of like, we'll see when it gets there?
I think those guys are already firmly in the system, if that makes sense. Like, they're firmly in the European market, and who knows what happens with that. So I say those guys are already firmly there, and if a move happens, a move happens.
Well, let's go to the next question we have from Chasing a Cup. Also, thanks, Chasing a Cup, for the question. What are our biggest weaknesses, and how will Greg address them? What do you think about that one?
Biggest weakness, I think right now, I know some people might say left back, if, you know, because some people don't, you know, think Anthony Robinson's here, that, but we can get touching that at a later time. But I actually think our biggest weakness right now is at the number 9 spot. And I do think, you know, the three, you know, head guys right now are Jozy Altidore, Giassi Zardes, and Josh Sargent. But I still think if you look around the team, you have guys killing it like John Brooks at center back, Zach Steffen, a goalie, Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna, so many talented guys who are absolutely killing it. And I recognize that Josh Sargent is starting every game for Werder Bremen, and I'm the biggest Josh Sargent fan in the world. But if we have a game tomorrow, is Josh Sargent going to be the most likely player to score? You would probably think Weah, Jordan Morris even, you know, those guys might be, we think they're going to score before Josh Sargent. And that's not what we should be expecting from our striker. And I do appreciate all the great things he does. And I do think, you know, hopefully by next season, he'll become a goal scoring forward. But I think, you know, you want your forwards to score. And right now, the best goal scoring forward we have is Jesse Zardes. And I don't know if his link up play is, you know, going to bring out the best in Gio Reyna, going to bring out the best in Pulisic. So I do think he is still, you know, a firm part of the national team. So I say number nine, who is going to be the guy, you know, combining with all the talent around us?
Yeah, I like that call. For me, it's twofold. I think it's one, there's the number nine, maybe some left back concerns. There's also the center back position next to John Brooks. But I think the reason why all of that is an issue, I think, is just the timing of all of this. I think we haven't had as much game time as we'd like to see what our core actually looks like. We haven't seen a camp in a while of Pulisic, Adams, and McKinney. If Yunus Musah is really part of the core, can we get him there? And can we get him used to playing as a box-to-box midfielder, which he's not playing at the club level? You know, there are a lot of questions in terms of what are things going to look like, but we don't even have the time to figure out what they're going to look like. Yes, we had this nice little win against El Salvador, but maybe like three or four or five of those guys from that camp are going to actually be core members of this team. And it's like, can we have enough time to get this team to mesh, not just in time for World Cup qualifiers, but you're going to be meshing during the qualifiers. You know, come Nations League, we're going to be trying to figure out our squad. So I think just the timing of all of it is very tough. I think the center back position next to John Brooks, is it going to be Matt Miazga? Is it going to be Mark McKenzie? If it's Mark McKenzie, is that enough defensive cover? There are a lot of questions like that. And I think Greg Berhalter will address them. That is the second part of the question. How will Greg address them? I think it's just having as many camps as you can when you can and just widening the player pool as much as possible to where you can have guys that are ready. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're ready to start, but you have a guy like Paul Arriola, who we're not sure. He comes in, plays very well against El Salvador. Now we all say, okay, we're pretty comfortable with Paul Arriola. So I think that's what it comes down to for me is, can we make sure that we have enough guys ready? And I think the rest will naturally solve itself, but it's a very tough thing to handle. So I wish Greg Berhalter luck, and I think he's doing a great job this far. Our next question comes from Kicking It With Drew, which kind of goes back to our earlier question or conversation we just had. Is who's our most reliable number nine? You say probably it's not Josh Sargent because he's not the most reliable goal scorer. He's pretty good at really everything but scoring goals, which is really valuable. But most reliable, is it Jesse Zardes?
I actually think so. I think the like second part of the question is who's the number nine if we have a World Cup Games House qualifier tomorrow. And I'm going with Josh Sargent. If we have a big game tomorrow, I'm starting Josh Sargent at number nine. And the reason being is, he gets high-level reps every single week, week in, week out in the Bundesliga. He's playing against some of the best defenders in the world, some of the best tactical setups in the world. And even if he's not scoring every week, he's still getting those reps in. And so far, he's scored goals for the youth national teams. He scored goals for the senior national team. So I think I am starting Josh Sargent. I think Jesse Zardes is in the mix as well. And Jozy Altidore, you can't, experience is so key. The only problem with Josie is obviously his injury troubles, but I think those three right now are firmly the top three. And I think I do go Josh Sargent just because he's the one getting the most high level reps right now, but I'd be fine with any three of those guys.
So I'm going to get roasted probably on Twitter for this one, but I'm going to say for me, it's Jesse Zardes, not because Josh Sargent isn't good enough right now. He's the best overall striker. I have no problem saying that, but I think if there's a game tomorrow, first of all, he's going to be tired. He played yesterday, so I think it's going to be tough. And I think second of all, I think Jesse Zardes, say what you will about him and every other aspect of his game, but the dude just finds goals. And I think like that's one thing I would be okay with having him out there and say, you know what? He's probably going to find a goal for us. Is it going to be beautiful? Is it going to be great link-up play? Is he going to have the great defensive work rate as Josh Sargent? The answer is no, but he scored in the past. He was nominated for U17 Player of the Year. I have a hard time saying you don't deserve that start. Whether or not I take him out after the 60th minute, that's a different story. But I think he deserves that start, and I think he's the guy for me right now. And I hope he gets passed, but I can't argue with the production at this point. Tough for me to not pick Josh Sargent, but at the same time, not see the goal scoring that comes with a Jesse Zardes. So I don't know. But it's a very tough conversation to have. Hopefully, we'll get an answer come World Cup qualifying. But here comes a fun one from Jake Castillo, one of our own at one goal. Retire, cut, bench between Reyna, Musah, Dest, and Pulisic. Again, so you have to retire one, cut one, bench one, and then start one.
All right. Retire, cut, bench, start. First off, I just want a disclaimer for all these four men involved. I want to start all of you. I want to love all of you. You guys are at the top of my list. So this is purely hypothetical. And
Yeah, we're going to start all of you guys.
Don't come on the pod. If I tell you to retire, no, that's Jake Castillo's fault. At Jake Castillo. Like,
Hypothetical. Again, hypothetical. Okay, now you can go.
So start, I have to go with Pulisic. He's the godfather. He's the OG. He's still the best player in our pool. Obviously, there's exciting guys coming through, but he's the guy. At the end of the day, he's our guy. And every time I see him play for Chelsea, even if it's just a short appearance, you just see he has that thing. He's such a dangerous player. He's starting. Benching, I guess we're going to have to bench Gio Reyna. And so I'd say he's another guy, pretty versatile. He's already one of the top link-up men in all of Europe, and he just turned 18 years old. So the potential he has is just absolutely crazy. And so I have to bench Gio Reyna. Hopefully he can come in, create some goals for us off the bench. And cutting, I'm going to go with Sergiño Dest. And the reason I cut Sergiño is, even though he is our best outside back at either position, I think there's so many young right backs coming up. You know, Joe Scally's going to Gladbach soon. You have Julian Araujo, who got his first game. Kyle Duncan, who recently got his first game. Just so many guys.
You're really going to snub your boy Brian Reynolds like that?
Ryan Reynolds. There's so many right backs coming up. So I love Sergiño Dest. He's the best of the bunch. But if I have to, there's a position that's going to be even somewhat secure, it's right back. So sorry, Sergiño, in this hypothetical, I have to cut you. And that means Yunus Musa, you have to retire. And the only reason being is,
you're going to make Yunus Musa retire before he even gets an official cap tying event for the U.S.?
Because as of 2 months ago, we weren't even thinking about you. Like, we knew you were a possibility, but we thought you weren't even here. Like, we thought you were English and you were going to run with it. We thought USA was probably like your third choice, honestly, probably fourth choice. And then, boom, you're suddenly playing for us. So even though I love you, you're amazing, you need to come on the pod, you unfortunately, in this scenario, need to retire. And I'm sorry.
All right. Well, here comes my turn. I'm also going to start at Pulisic. I feel like it's pretty easy. This one is tough for me because my thinking is, I love Gio. Gio, also, please come on the pod. But in terms of position, what we need right now, could I get away with Paul Arriola and Jordan Morris? And could I figure out a way to keep Serge? Or could I figure out a way to keep Musa? I think I'll bench Serge. I know, like you said, that we have a lot of right backs, but no one has the swag of Serge. And I know that's ridiculous. I know that's completely ridiculous. But if Serge picked us over the Netherlands, I'm going to have to, you know, I got to give it to him. Like, I love the guy. He has the most swag. He might be the most technically sound player in the entire pool, besides Pulisic. So I'm going to bench Sergiño Dest. And I think I don't know what to do here. I really don't, because I want to keep them both. Like, they're both good friends. I feel like they would both, like, go together. You know, like, they're like, oh, Eunice, if you're going to retire, like, all right, I'll retire with you. Or if Gio got cut, then Eunice says, you know what, I'm going with my guy. So I think I'm going to pan to the dual net, and I'm going to cut Musa, and I'm going to tell Gio to retire. Not because. No, I know.
Wow.
I know.
Hello to this guy.
I know.
He's been doing nothing but grinding for the youth national teams since he was 13 years old. And look at you, telling him to retire.
Look, I'm not telling him to retire per se. I'm just telling him that relative to the other guys here, he has to retire. And it's not because he doesn't deserve to play. He does. And I just feel like Eunice, I guess cutting Eunice is the same thing as telling him to retire. So I can switch this if it makes you feel any better. But I can't do it to Serge. But Serge said, I'm playing for the U.S. Like, I could have played for the Netherlands and I chose to play for us. And we're really going to cut him and say, nah, bro, we don't want you? Like, how can I do that?
It's fine.
All right. Jake, I don't like that question. I really don't. That was really not a great one. But it was a great one for conversation's point. Well, next one we have is from J_Kratachi. I hope that's correct. Where is Paxton Pomykal in the pecking order amongst the midfield as he returns from injury?
I think Paxton Pomykal, like I said, he's a very talented player. I love how he is as a two-way threat. So I think I just want to get him healthy. I think he probably won't figure for the national team, maybe until later in 2021, I would assume so. And I think that's good. And there are a lot of tournaments, a lot of games that are going to happen over the summer. potentially to have the Olympics. If he ends up going to the Olympics, that's great. But I think right now I just want him to get back on his feet playing wise for the club team. I wouldn't stretch national team too much. And then after he does that, then we can see where he is. Is he above Brendan Aaronson? Is he below Brendan Aaronson? Is he going to have a better season at MLS than Caden Clark? You know, that's another guy who's coming up. So I think we just have to see how he is. He's a guy who I rate very highly, and I just want to see him get back on his feet and put together another all-star season.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's one of those things where it's like, if he is healthy and playing well, the national team will take care of itself. He's good enough talents-wise. Just a matter of, can you consistently stay healthy? He's going to get the minutes. He's going to have assists. He's going to have goals. It just, can you stay healthy? So I think eventually he's going to be a full national team member. Maybe he'll get some run in the Olympics if he wants to be healthy enough for that and wants to play. Sure. But I think first things first, let's get healthy and then we'll go from there. So thanks for that question. We'll move to the next one here. This is from my cousin, M. Garbos, on Instagram. And I want to say, this is a bad question because he asked, which USMNT player has the best drip? And clearly my cousin doesn't listen to the podcast because we answered that last week for our award of who had the best drip. And we gave it to Owen Otosawi. And we gave the silver medal to Tim Weah. So I'm just going to, again, plug our podcast from last week. And shout out to my cousin for not listening. So thanks to my cousin. We'll move to our next one. General question here. We got a couple questions about Anthony Robinson. So, you know, there's been a big debate on USMNT Twitter. Is Anthony Robinson even good? If he's good, how is he good for the USMNT? Give me your takes on Anthony Robinson.
Yeah, I think it's crazy with Anthony Robinson that we can have a guy starting week in, week out in the Premier League, and people still don't rate him. And I think that just, we're spoiled. We're absolutely spoiled to the fact that we have a player like that and people aren't saying he's a guaranteed starter. So I think the thing with Anthony Robinson is he showed some promise when he first came for the national team, then had a couple games with some defensive deficiencies, you know, like the Colombia game where James Rodriguez was playing like just a man possessed. And now he's come back and people thought, oh, he's had a break from the national team. He's matured. And he wasn't, you know, 100% convincing against Wales. But I still do think Anthony Robinson, he's a top-level player. I think there's no need to, you know, cancel him because he's playing week in, week out in the Premier League. I remember over the summer when we talked about his moves to Fulham, we said that, you know, maybe he is better than Joe Bryan, but Joe Bryan started pretty much every game for Fulham in the Championship, and he would have to overtake him. It only took, I think, 4 games for him to overtake him, and he hasn't lost his grip since, and he's been, I think, their second or third best player in ratings wise for the season. So he's doing great in the Premier League as best as he can. He's starting games, and it's only going to be a matter of time before he puts in an absolute shift of a game for the national team. People are like, this is the guy that gets to play in the Premier League every week.
No, I see what you're saying. I think he's definitely someone on talent alone that should be part of the USMNT. I don't think there's even an argument that he shouldn't be part of it. But I think where the challenge comes in is how he fits into Greg Berhalter's system. And I think that's kind of the difference, is because you see how he plays with Fulham week in and week out. His job is really just to stop the ball when it's in the defensive third and then run up the sideline, you know, and interceptions, not a lot of passing, not a lot of possession. I think that's the big difference, is because in Berhalter's system, it requires a lot of possession. You know, it requires guys who can sit back and relax and don't run up and down the flanks as much. I think eventually when we have the ball, we move forward and attack, that's where he comes into play. But I think the way he's playing with Fulham and the responsibilities he's going to have for the national team are two completely different things. So I think it's very challenging for a player of his skill set to fit into that right now. We saw that early in his national team days when he got destroyed, like you said, by James Rodriguez. And he kind of struggled against Wales because he was just running up and down. He was like, I'm not sure what to do. And it showed. And I think that's fine. It's a process. And I like to think also that if Pulisic was on the left wing, he would know my responsibilities are less. You know, I don't have to do as much here. But I think it might take a little bit longer than people want for a guy who's starting in the Premier League to fit into the system we have in the national team. That's not means he's a bad player. But right now, he's not a great fit for our system. And I think that's fine. And I also will say that Wungo put out a video about Anthony Robinson, kind of how to evaluate him. So check that out on YouTube. But more importantly, I just like, give it time. And I know that's tough because you're like, oh, he's in the Premier League. But how can you not figure this out? But it's a completely different system. I'm curious, George, like for you, as a player, you're playing, right? Your job as a center mid for the BU system is this. And then you go to a different team and your job changes. How long does it take to really like figure things out?
I think if you're a good enough player, it doesn't necessarily take too long if the system is pretty straightforward. Like, we're not talking about Marcelo Bielsa at Leeds, where you go from just sitting as a number six and just spreading the ball to, oh, I have to press for 90 minutes and have to man mark. You know, it's not that significant. If you are, for me, if you are a Premier League level player like Anthony Robinson is, and your responsibilities change only slightly, then, you know, you should be able to do it. And I think he is. I don't think Anthony Robinson, you know, feels like he's deficient in Greg Berhalter's system, or he's thinking to himself, oh, I just need a couple more games and I'll be fit in. No, I think he's perfectly fine. He knows what he has to do. And it's just about putting those performances together. I think, like I said, he's clearly talented enough, and I'm not worried at all.
Yeah, I agree. Let's just give it time. Hopefully these things do work out. It's just tough, you know, saying, okay, I'm playing one way for Fulham, and then now I'm coming into the national team for 2 weeks to play this way. So I think that aspect of it is kind of different than most things. But again, in time, hopefully all things do end up working out for Anthony in the USMNT, because I like the player. I hope he ends up on the pod. I hope he ends up as a starter and all those good things for him. So I think our last question here we got from Awesome Sauce. Shout out. Awesome Sauce. Would Fuller and Balogun, would his commitment transform the national team?
I don't think so. I don't think it transforms the national team, because, you know, I still think if he was wanted to play for us and we had a 23-man roster, if he was eligible, like, I'm taking Josie, Jossie, and Josh Sargent as my three strikers. So I don't think he changed the national team, but obviously Josie's in his 30s. Zardes isn't necessarily young anymore, so we need more strikers. We need competition for Akinola, for DK, for Soto. So yeah, I don't think he changes the national team picture, but I want him for sure. And I definitely think, you know, he's a guy who maybe in a couple years is going to be starting for Arsenal in the Premier League, and why wouldn't we want that guy in the national team? So I definitely think he's a top prospect and I want him, but is he transforming the national team? No, I don't think there's a lot of guys who would necessarily transform the national team. I wouldn't even say Yunus Musa transformed the national team. So, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree. I think at this point, honestly, he's not a senior team member of our national team. I know that's crazy. Oh, he's playing for Arsenal. But look, in one EFL Cup match, he played no goals. In four Europa League games, he has 2 goals. Like, that's great. I'm glad you're breaking in, but let's get a little bit farther along before we can pencil you in and say, first of all, you're part of the national team. Do you want that, first of all? Second of all, okay, you're in the national team. Third, now you're the savior of the national team. Like, I think that's a little bit ambitious. And I think, look, he's, like you said, a great talent. And I think I'm interested. I hope he's interested as well. And we'll kind of see where it goes. And if he ends up being the player he's supposed to be, then this is great. But let's not put too much pressure on him and say you're going to come in and save us, because he's not. And two, we're not even there yet. You know, like, let's give him time to fully break through, and let's see if he can force his way onto this team. And if he can, we'll see if he's open for it. So I think it's one of those things where, again, we'll just have to wait and see. I know everyone as a USMNT fan is ready for some hot takes and wants some spicy transfer merch, because it's kind of a downtime right now in US soccer, but I don't have one for you. I think Fuller and Balogun is a good player, and we'll see what happens if he plays for the USMNT. I hope he does, but who knows? I think that's really all I have to say on that issue. George, is there anything else on your mind other than your birthday? Anything else you want to talk about?
It's been a good year for U.S. soccer. I mean, I think this is probably our last show of the year, or we might have one more. But, you know, just reflecting on when we started this podcast, we've had absolutely great things to talk about every single week. That's kind of insane when you think about it. I think we started this in July. And every single week, there's been something amazing we've had to talk about. You know, there was those transfers early on. I remember when we were talking about whether Weston McKennie was going to Southampton or Everton. And then next week, we were like, oh, dang, he's at Juventus. That's crazy. Or like Anthony Robinson, we were like, is he going to fit into the Sheffield United system? And now look, Sheffield United's in last place with only 2 points in 14 games. So just crazy that every week we've had absolutely amazing things to talk about.
Yeah, I completely agree. I also want to shout out all of our interviews. So thanks to One Goal for helping set those up. Thanks to Matt Miazga, Eric Palmer Brown, John Lewis, Andrew Carlton, Uli Lanez as well. Great interviews. We have some good ones coming up. We don't even know who's next, but we've been promised that there's a big guest coming. We don't even know who it is. George, who do you think it's going to be? What's your guess?
I don't even know. Hey, your guess is as good as mine. I'm excited.
I heard whispers of LeBron James. So, I mean, I don't know. It's possible.
If LeBron James came on the pod, I think I would make the longest episode in history. We're talking like 5 hour special. I'm not letting him get off.
But anyways, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks for all the support. Please continue to rate, review, and subscribe. I did see We had a recent 5-star review, so thanks to whoever did that. And thanks everyone for submitting your questions. Thanks everyone for the great year. And I think we'll be back this time next year with some more U.S. soccer content. So without further ado, we'll wrap there. And thanks everyone for listening.